Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson, and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 64, titled The Power of Gratitude. And a very Merry Christmas to each and every one of you, as today is Christmas Eve, and when I drop this podcast, it will be on Christmas Day, most likely. So I hope you're all doing great. And I'm excited to get to talk about the power of gratitude today, as I just got home from a family gathering at my parents' house. My parents have a tradition of having all of us kids and our spouses, our children, and which would be my parents' grandchildren, and a few even great-grandchildren gather together for a lovely meal and opening of presents. My mom, even in her 80s, does an awesome job of getting thoughtful gifts for everyone. And it is just a really special night every year where I'm able to reflect on how grateful I am to be a part of my family. And it's wonderful to be a part of a family that has a lot of love and care for each other and not a lot of drama or anger or problems. And I just feel blessed to be a part of that, and I'm grateful to have such great family members. I'm thankful for my immediate family, but also my extended family with my siblings. I'm blessed to have wonderful parents who have been great role models and wonderful people in my life. And so I'm going to start today's episode by going to a book that I have talked about before on this podcast, which is called Goodbye Things, and written by a Japanese gentleman called, his name is Fumio Sasaki. So he gives a quote at the beginning, of a chapter that was attributed to Albert Einstein that goes as follows. There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is. And I really love that. It really helps us kind of tune into the power of perspective and attitude about our life and how we look at our life. So he goes on to write the following. This first part, he talks a little bit about how minimalism has helped him acquire gratitude. And I'm not suggesting this will be the case with everyone, but certainly thought I would share his his words of wisdom for those to whom it might apply. I quote from his book. A while back, partway through my minimizing process, I had gotten rid of a lot of things and my apartment had become pretty airy. Lying in bed, I experienced a strange feeling. For some reason, I was filled with gratitude for all the things that I still had. It's something I hadn't felt when I was always buying more. Back then, I had always been so preoccupied with what I didn't have that I never thought about being grateful for what I did have. I had a bed, a desk, and even an air conditioner. I could sleep well, take a shower, prepare my meals, and enjoy my favorite pastimes. It was an apartment where I could relax with peace of mind. Yet all that stuff actually blocked my gratitude. When would I ever have had the time to thank my TV, my games, my old Blu-ray recorder, my home theater, all my remote controls, and everything else? Gratitude becomes possible only when you don't have many possessions. I've even become grateful for having a roof over my head that protects me from the wind and the rain. So anyway, he goes on to say the following. Gratitude is the only thing that can prevent the cycle of familiarity leading to boredom that I wrote about in chapter 2. Gratitude allows us to see our everyday life with a fresh perspective. We won't continue to take things for granted if we become aware of our appreciation for them. Through gratitude, we can trigger sustainable stimulation, which gives us much more peace than the stimulation that we get by buying something new or increasing our stockpile. We can accumulate as much as we like, but without gratitude, we'll only end up being bored with everything we've obtained. Conversely, we can achieve true contentment with few possessions, just so long as we treat them with gratitude. He goes on to... He said that Steve Jobs is said to have looked in the mirror each morning and asked himself if he would have liked to follow his schedule if it were the last day of his life. He continued to do this for 35 years so he could check whether he was getting off track. So next thing he says is, the feeling of gratitude is powerful. I was probably taught about the importance of gratitude during ethics lesson in elementary school, but it had completely slipped my mind. It seems like I took a great detour before I realized the importance of such a plain and simple word. I decided to make it a habit to feel gratitude. I made up my mind and told myself that I would remember to feel grateful for everything. I thought I could make gratitude a method. With that in mind, I was flabbergasted when I read a book by Mitsuro Sato, which explained that you can feel gratitude only when you're happy. Let's try to imagine a situation where we might want to shout, "I'm happy." Soaking in a spacious open-air bathtub at a nice inn with a fabulous meal waiting for us, I think this is the type of situation where we would certainly feel happy. It's easy to focus on your feelings of gratitude if you're at a terrific inn with a beautiful bath, great food, and a wonderful setting. I probably couldn't help but murmur to myself that I'm happy in a situation like that, and there would certainly be a sense of gratitude there. I realized then that gratitude is not a method, it's a part of happiness. It's happiness itself. Studies in psychology have shown that the more times people have a chance to be grateful, the happier they'll be. That isn't all that surprising when you consider that gratitude is happiness. Let's see. He also says, as we discussed in the last section, we can only experience the present. You can't vividly relive the past, and you can't throw yourself into the future. We can only feel what's happening now, and everything is in the present. What if we were to combine this with the affirmative perspective filled with gratitude? Let's try this for a minute. Let's try to appreciate the present. It's now midnight. I'm sitting at a chain restaurant. It's lonely because I'm the only customer here. But wait, the place is staying open late just for me. I'm wearing my usual clothes, but they're wonderfully comfortable no matter how many times I wear them. The waiter was curt to me, but he quickly brought me my meal and even asked me to enjoy it. The drink station is always the same, but I can have as many cups of coffee as I want, and the cups and glasses are always nice and clean. I step out of the restaurant and feel jealous of all the couples I pass, but I've got many wonderful memories too. So he goes on to say some other scenarios, such as he's in the middle of a commute, but he realizes that there's things you can be grateful for even in the middle of a long commute. And kind of he's trying to make the point that most situations we're in, we can find a way to view them differently and to have gratitude in our lives and express gratitude. And it is true. What he says is positive psychology is a study of happiness, and they have found through research that gratitude is intrinsically linked to happiness. Everyday happiness comes from being grateful about small things. And it's awesome because gratitude is something that we can control and we can choose to have or choose not to have. The opposite of gratitude in my mind is greed or envy. I got an email from one of my loyal listeners, Boyd, who emails me fairly regularly, and he shared some thoughts on this that I thought were great words of wisdom, and I thought I would pass some of his email on to you guys. He quotes one of my favorite financial podcasters named Don McDonald. He said, He quoted from an investment book that Boyd and I exchanged with each other called Two Funds for Life. It's a book by Chris Pederson that talks about using a target date index fund and a small cap value fund for the rest of your life and adjusting it as you go. One of the quotes that Chris gave in the book goes as follows. The obvious reason for saving and investing is to accumulate some of what we have today so we can have more tomorrow. The two things that derail this thought are easy credit and the notion that we need to have more today. This is a well-funded trap. There is no shortage of advertising money spent to encourage us to spend everything we earn and more because we deserve the good things in life today. But it's path to endless catch-up that never achieves financial freedom. To avoid it, we need to cultivate an attitude of gratitude instead of envy and learn to be generous to our future selves. If we focus on what we have instead of what we don't, it will help us defer some of today's gratification so our future selves can have the security and freedom we deserve. That's the end of the quote by Chris Pederson, which is, I thought, was an awesome, awesome quote. Boyd went on to write, he said, it's a delicate balancing act through our life. Do we do the miserly Scrooge thing and save every penny like I often have, or envy our friends and neighbors and party on because you only live once? I think the answer is a little bit of both. If we start saving and investing early, even in our teen years, the amount we need to defer is so very small compared to if we begin later. I have often heard that $1 invested at age 20 will turn into $88 at retirement. So if you had $10,000 at age 20, that would mean $880,000. And that's if you never invested another dollar. He goes on to talk about the beauties of compound interest and how investing at a young age is such an awesome thing. He then shares some cool quotes about this. He says, the happiest people don't have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything they have. Happiness is letting go of what you think your life is supposed to look like and celebrating it for everything that it is. And that was Mandy Hill who said that. And let's see. He also said that he talks just a lot about some of his quotes are about comparison is the thief of joy, and that we should stop comparing our lives and start living our lives. And Boyd shared some really cool thoughts and insights into this email that I really enjoyed reading, and really appreciated his Merry Christmas and Happy New Year wishes as well. And so I think the concept of gratitude and money go really nicely together, because I love what Chris Pederson says about being compassionate and kind to our future selves by saving some now and sacrificing some now. Many of you listening to this live a life of abundance. Most of us probably wish we had more or spend time thinking about how you can accumulate more. But in comparison to the world's population and the history of the world, of all the people who have lived on this earth, we live better than kings lived in back in the day, or better than our grandparents lived by a mile. Square footage, size of houses are much larger, cars are much nicer. Air conditioning is standard in most houses nowadays where the climate requires it. I remember growing up in my house and needing to go to the basement to get any relief because it was just so hot in the upstairs. And so life has become so much more positive and easy for the most people, and at least that live in America. We're very blessed and fortunate. And even those who are poor often have a better standard of living than maybe the middle class did in the past. Most people do have cell phones. Most people live in nice apartments or houses, have one or two cars, have several clothing options, and eat good food. The food choices that we have nowadays are endless, and we're so blessed to be able to have such a variety in our food and not have to grow all of our food, but have many other people working to provide us the food that we have. If you think of one food item, think of all the people who have had a hand in providing that for us, from the farmers to the truckers to the packagers to the shippers to the preparers. The list goes on and on. And so I think it's awesome to really reflect and stop and appreciate what we currently have and not continue to chase the endless pursuit of more and wanting more possessions. Most of us have plenty as it is, and if we can develop this attitude of gratitude, first of all, it will boost our happiness levels and help us feel happier, and will be more pleasant and enjoyable people to be around. But it also will free up room in our budget so that we can possibly save more money in our savings account, invest more money in our investing accounts, fund those Roth IRAs, contribute to our 401ks, and be kind and generous to our future selves. I think gratitude and investing, oddly enough, go hand in hand. And if you're struggling to save money or invest money, think about if there's any connection with gratitude and the inability or unwillingness to save. And maybe revisit your budget to see if there are some areas of growth and contraction where you can make room for more saving, because maybe you don't need to buy as many material possessions as you thought, or maybe you don't need as nice of a car as you've had in the past. So those are just some thoughts that have been rolling around in my mind on this beautiful Christmas season. I hope that you are all having a wonderful and Merry Christmas, and I wish nothing but the best for you. Be wonderful if you could leave a review on iTunes and share the show on Facebook or through social media, or maybe share it with a friend or family member who you think could benefit from the concepts and principles that we talk about in this show. And remember, a simple life is a good life.